things are so fancy. At the church I go to in Pennsylvania there, we've just got one of these ones. Just one, it stays in its place. I tried moving it around and someone duct taped it down. So it stays there. And we do not move it. Unless we have to. Well, good afternoon. Today really has been a blessing. I know many of you are probably pastors and you're in the position that I am where we are preaching every single week, whether it's once or twice or three or four times, depending on what you got going on. And it has been a blessing to be able to just hear someone else teach the word. And I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what they had to share. As Fred asked me to speak probably a month ago, I didn't get the voicemail until a couple weeks ago because of where I'm at. But I got back to him. I was excited. I was excited as we were talking about peace. To be honest, when I saw what the theme was, and he just said, well, it's this verse here, I thought, well, that's not enough. We're all going to preach the same exact thing. I told my wife that, and she said, that's okay. And I said, yeah, you know what, you're right, that's okay. But still, I'm going to be the last one to speak, and I'm going to share what everybody else has shared before. And then I'm going to look like I just took notes the whole time. And if that's the way it looks, well, then that's good, too. I don't have much to share. I plan to keep it short. Before I get into it, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful for who you are. We are thankful for your love and the peace that you give us, Lord. And may we recognize your love in our lives. May we recognize your work. And may your Holy Spirit just guide us as we consider your word throughout the rest of this day. Lord, may we pursue you. In the name of your Son, amen. So as we consider peace, it's a whole day. We consider the peace that we have in Christ and how this world will never provide that sort of peace, not the peace that we need. One of the things that has been on my mind over the past few weeks, it's sort of a joke that my dad would tell. Every birthday, and he still does this today, we ask my dad, what do you want for your birthday? And he would say to us, I want a map of the world, actual size. And of course you can't get that, it's a ridiculous answer, he knows that. He's told us this answer since I was 5 years old, right? And we've never gotten him a map of the world actual size, because it's impossible for us to get. And if you guys come across one, let me know, because my dad wants one for his birthday this year. But we would point out the ridiculousness of this to him, and he would kind of laugh and say, he said, well, how about world peace? I'd like world peace. That sounds good. And of course, we can't get him that either. And what my dad was really trying to convey is, I don't want anything from you. So what we'd do pretty much every birthday is me and my brother would go get him a pocket knife. He'd ask for world peace, and we'd give him a weapon, which he was happy with, strangely. But nonetheless, I never really thought about that until this morning on the drive here. I thought about the ridiculousness of getting him a weapon when he... But anywho, nonetheless, this is the desire of a lot of people for world peace. It's something that everybody seems to want. I would like world peace, or I'd like to be at peace here, or peace there, and I'd like to see people at peace. For many, peace with other men seems to be their biggest concern. That seems to be what they're concerned with. That, you know, fighting would stop. And it is a great concern. It would be nice to see not nation fighting nation all the time. But even if all the nations stop fighting one another, it doesn't mean the world's at peace. There's still a lot going on. There's struggles everywhere. Just because we're not going after another country doesn't mean that country isn't going after its people. And this is a big concern, but a much greater concern than peace in that sense is peace with God. And it's something that not so many people really think about. It's not something that every single person is dwelling upon because they don't realize that they don't have it. As we consider John 14:27 today, we read that Jesus gives us peace, that Jesus gives us His peace. The very thought of Jesus giving us peace suggests that without Him, it's not something that we have, and it's not something that we can attain on our own. Jesus speaks of peace with God. If we have peace with the world like Jesus had peace with the world, well, if you remember how the world treated Christ, is they persecuted Him. That is the expectation of believers, to be persecuted by the world. We're not going to be at peace in such a way with the world that nothing bad is going to happen to us. I know Jeff touched on that quite a bit. But it's our sin that is the reason that we are not at peace with God. In Romans 5:10, if you want to turn there real quick, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." This depiction here that Paul gives of our state before Christ is something that I think most people don't like. They don't like to think about. Paul tells us that we are reconciled to God, given peace through the death of His Son, Jesus. But as I've spent time considering what it means to have peace with God, I've come to realize that far too often we don't come to grasp with what it really means to be an enemy of God. The peace with God that we have through Jesus Christ only means something to us if we recognize that we were once enemies with God. Tomorrow morning, as I continue going through the Gospel of John down at my church in PA, we come across a passage that tells us of the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ. But again, that means nothing if we don't realize that we are slaves to our sin. If the world believes that they are on good terms with God, they won't desire peace with God. They won't see a need for peace with God. But if the gospel is to be preached to unbelievers who are living in their sin, they need to first realize their sin. And that is a difficult struggle for the church. It really is indeed. Because it comes across in one of two ways. We don't touch on it at all. We ignore their sin and pretend that it's not there. Or we just say, well, you've got to fix that sin or else Jesus won't save you. And of course, neither of those are the answer, right? But we need to see our sin nonetheless and see it for what it is. In Romans 6:23, as many of us are more than familiar with, it says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now the death that is spoken of there is eternal separation from God. It's not just simply we're going to die someday, but we are going to be separated from God. We will not receive His grace any longer. And when one begins to realize the grace of God in their lives, they will realize just how significant that is. Everybody is receiving the grace of God in their lives. Even unbelievers are receiving the grace of God in the mere fact that they are alive today and not immediately put to death for their sin. Again, until one realizes how they themselves need this peace with God, the reality is that they're not going to be searching for anything. There's always been a lot of discussion on how best to reach others with the truth of the gospel. Some people I know wait on elevators. I've heard these stories many of times. They wait on an elevator. They wait for somebody to come in. They say to them, "Are you going up or are you going down?" And they'll hit the button for them because that's the nice thing to do, right? But once they've got them trapped, those elevator doors are closed. They say, "Are you going up? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell?" And they use this opportunity to kind of present the gospel. The struggle is that if they're only going one floor, how much can you really say to them, right? Or how much are they going to listen? But the benefit is you've trapped them in a small little room and they've got nowhere to go until they get to their floor. Others, think they can share the gospel of Christ without ever mentioning hell at all, without ever mentioning sin or punishment, by just saying, Jesus loves you. You need to know that. You need to know that Jesus loves you. Or you need to know that Jesus wants to give you peace. Well, those things are true, right? But they're not going to mean anything to somebody who doesn't realize they're a sinner. The reality is that however you choose to share the gospel, you cannot skip out on the fact that we are enemies of God without Jesus Christ. You cannot skip out on the current position that we stand in before a holy and righteous God. And it sounds harsh, right? I don't think any one of us will find joy telling someone, hey, you're a filthy sinner. You're wretched. You're wicked. I mean, if you find joy in that, well, I mean, that might be a little concerning, but unless you're finding joy in the fact that you're leading to an opportunity to share the gospel with them and how great and wonderful Jesus Christ is. But you can't skip out on that thing. You can't skip out on that truth. I mean, we want peace, right? And everybody wants peace, but only when they see that there's a conflict, that there is an issue. So we have to tell them some rather harsh news. Last week I was teaching through John 8, and in verses 21 and 24, Jesus tells these people in the temple that they are going to die in their sins. He says, you're going to die in your sins. Without me, you will die in your sins. It's not a very inviting thing to hear, right? In fact, when we look through the teaching of Christ, we find, if we read it in such a way that we're expecting Jesus to tell us just wonderful things about us, we'll begin to see why they went after Christ. Because what he says to them is rather harsh, but it's the truth. Hearing that you're going to die in your sins is not a very inviting thing to hear. In fact, you might even argue, well, that's not a peaceful thing to say. It's going to cause issues. In fact, we see with Christ that it did cause issues. They wanted to put him to death. They wanted to know by what authority he said these things. They wanted to know why or who he was that could say such a thing to them in such a way that they would die in their sins if they did not believe in him. As I said, what Jesus was saying wasn't untrue. It was a tough reality, though, that we all need to come to recognize. If we want peace with God, we must come to the understanding that living in sin will not lead to peace with God. The reality is that doing good things as well doesn't bring us to peace with God, because our good deeds are stained with sin. Jesus Christ is the only answer, but man will only pursue this peace when the truth is preached. If the unbelievers around us think that their only enemy is other unbelievers, if they don't see their conflict with God, how are they going to see or even desire peace with God? They will only desire unity with God when they realize just how far they have missed the mark, when they realize what their sin is. And this requires us to tell them that they're a sinner. And we have to do it graciously. We have to understand that we were in that same position, right? But praise the Lord for us here who have heard that we were sinners and responded to that, recognizing, I'm a sinner and I can't clean myself. I am dirty and I need help. The world around us desires peace when they see an enemy. As Fred said, they constantly are trying to find a different way to attain that peace, right? Whether it's by avoiding the conflict altogether, and some people do that when you share the gospel with them, when you share the fact that they're sinners, they avoid it completely, say, no, that's not me. Or they say, I don't want to deal with this right now, I'll pretend that it's not there. But nonetheless, they need to hear this harsh truth. So with that, the next time that someone tells you, I would like world peace, tell them of a greater peace that they need. Tell them of the peace that our Father in heaven has offered this world through His Son, Jesus Christ. Use the opportunity to tell them that all of our foreign enemies are a great concern, but there's an even greater one. There's a personal one that we all face. There's an enemy that they're up against that they shouldn't be fighting against. I can almost guarantee you it's going to get their attention. And being a people that desire peace, we have the opportunity to share with them not just the fact that they're a sinner and that they're an enemy of God, but how Christ desires to give them peace with God through His sacrifice on the cross. We have the opportunity to tell them that Jesus is the answer. And that is how they can come about that peace that us believers have with God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank You for the opportunity for me to share what You have put on my heart over these past few weeks. Lord, may we have been blessed. And Lord, I ask Your blessing upon the rest of the speakers that come up here throughout this day. In Your name, amen.